It has been some time past that I was last year speaking to you. That was in May, and therefore 5 months have passed, and you would have forgotten much of what I said. I was discussing with you then the Christian priesthood in Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. And the whole purpose of this theme of studies is that we might know what we believe in, we might know why we do what we do. Because many of us would have realized that many of the things that we do and we practice are so different from other churches and denominations. And therefore, are we right? We need to look into the scriptures to find out. And this series is to show you why we must do what we are doing, because it is what the Bible says. The Christian priesthood in Hebrews 10:19-20 says everyone is a priest. There's no division between one group of people from another group of people, that another group is called a clergy or the priests, and the others can only come and attend. We are all priests, brethren, and we have the right to enter into the Holy of Holies. That's because the Lord Jesus Christ has paved the way for us. And when he died on that cross, the veil in the temple had been torn into two, showing that we have access into his presence. He has gone before us, and he is there now for us. Therefore, having a high priest before God, we are the other priests, all are priests, to be able to attend into his presence. However, just as we do realize that there is only one condition to be priests, and that is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are accepted as priests, yet when we exercise our gifts as priests, there are certain conditions that we need to be true in heart, true in full assurance, we need to have a true heart in full assurance of faith, trusting the Lord what we believe in, and having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We need sanctified lives to be priests before God. And then we also have obligation to work out this belief, this profession in us, to show it to others practically in our Christian living and in our community. The commitment of priests, that we should hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. God is promised. In doing this, we may face certain difficult circumstances, but God is faithful. He will help us through. Let us therefore consider one another to provoke to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and especially now, when there is opportunity for the streaming our service in over Zoom. A few may be slack and may be lazy to come. It is important that we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves unless we are sick, and therefore we are to stay at home to listen. But if we are healthy and strong, it is our obligation and purpose to be here with the Lord's people. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Today I have a long story to tell, and I'm going to refer to this profession that we have. Profession as a Christian priest. Profession as a Christian profession in the place of work that we are today, we are in today. And that how we can testify to the Lord to glorify his name. This will be my purpose for this morning. And as we go through to do all this, we may have to face with difficulties, troubles, problems. It's not easy to be faithful, but God is faithful. He has promised that he will help us through. Therefore, this will be our purpose for this morning, as we are showing you in a very practical way how we can be faithful to God in professing his will. The very basis of this exhortation to all of us and challenge to all of you is Romans 12:1-2. We are holy priests, and we are holy priests, therefore we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. When we are told to present ourselves before God, the word present suggests to us that is a priestly service, a priestly ministry. We are to present ourselves to God. And this must be testified to in a very sanctified life where we are not conforming ourselves to this world and the world standards, but we be transformed by the renewing of our mind to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And this is the whole basis of this morning study. The will of God. Can we know the will of God? How do we know the will of God? How is the will of God to act out in our lives? The will of God. This is our purpose this morning. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It may be difficult when we go through the will of God. So many of us think that we have the idea, at least some of us have the idea, that when we do the will of God, we shall be blessed. We shall have a good life. We shall have a happy life. Well, you may be thinking differently after I study with you this morning. Therefore, I'm going to give my testimony. I did that in May. Half part of it, I've got to continue today. I told you about my conversion and my confession. How the Lord chose me to be converted, to become a Christian. And I confessed that in my baptism. Then how I consecrated my life to the Lord, to do His will. How I sought the will of God. How the will of God acted out in my life. And then I will show you in practical ways how I worked out this will of God in my life practically. And then I will refer to the last part, which I am going through now. This is the stage I am in, my commendation as a Christian worker in the Lord's service. With this study and testimony, my purpose is to challenge all of us here, at whatever age you are in, to serve the Lord. Let no man despise thy youth. That word youth can be interpreted as a young man. That word youth can be interpreted as a man of 40 years old. It can be even interpreted as later years. But today, and the last time, I use this text to challenge the young people from 21 and below. What the Lord did for me in my life to do His will at this age. Let a man not despise thy youth. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of believers. And then serve the Lord. Right. Of course, as I said, this is based on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore that you approve what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It begins with the heart. You must have your heart, and that heart is to be presented to the Lord. It means you are willing to present your life. If you are not talking about readiness to present your life to the Lord, to be used of Him, then perhaps what I'm going to say has no effect upon your life. You will go your way, the Lord will have His own way, and you will not be doing His way. What does that mean? To do God's will. One, to know God, to do God's will must be the readiness to present your life to the Lord. Are you ready? Ready to present, Lord, take my life and let it be wholly presented unto Thee. To do that, to know the will of God for your life, you must know the Word. Don't tell me that you know the Word of God from dreams. Don't tell me you can know the will of God from visions and experiences. The will of God is precisely expressed in the Word of God. If you are not prepared to read the Word of God, you will not be able to know the will of God. Because the will of God is precisely expressed in the Word of God. It's only when you read the Word of God that you know His will. And then you need to obey. want to know His will through the Word, you need to obey and you need to start working for Him. Then, if you are not sure at times about this will of God in your life, you can consult people, the elders, those who are more spiritual, to advise you. And that's how you carry on with presenting your life a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. And there are 10,000 reasons why you need to present your life to the Lord. I have no time for that. So, I have dealt with you 5 months ago regarding my conversion, 1950, and then my baptism on October 22nd, 1 month later. I challenge you then that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are going to do the will of God, obey. Why are you not baptized? Why have you said, why are you proud that you have that the fact that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are not yet baptized? You read the Word of God. Again, the Word of God is the Word of God where the will of God is expressed. They that believe were baptized. They that believe were baptized. There was no interval. You do it as soon as possible. Take the stand. It may be painful. It may be persecution. It may be trouble. It may be problems. The will of God does not promise you a happy life. It promises you a blessed life. Blessed because the Lord is going to bless you for what you do as you commit your life to the Lord. And then with that, you start consecrating your life to the Lord. Your consecration, and this is my study for this morning. How I consecrated my life to the Lord for His use after my baptism. Now, you will know from the dates that I have already been a Christian for 70 years. 70 years living the consecrated Christian life for Him. And I can testify this of what the Lord has done in my life, because I have been working with Him for 70 years. And what I say is not just a bluffology. Alright. I have no time to go through this, of how I started my Christian life, and how I went to school, in Penelope School, and I was not a clever boy. I was in a C class, in a stream of classes up to K, 6K in preschool. I was 6C, and then I became, I was very active in the youth work, running around with the youth, playing games and so on, thinking that I was doing God's work. Being busy running around and not spending time with God's word is not doing God's will. Not necessary so. Therefore, I had no time to do my studies, and I did not do well at the end of the year. And my father threatened me, "You don't do well in your studies, you don't go to church anymore." And it was at that time I was doing my Bible study and Romans chapter 12, doing a course on Aeneas Bible course on Romans. Then I found out that the Lord spoke to me, and I gave my life to the Lord. And I told my father, "Father, lead me one more time. At the end of the year, I will prove to you that I will improve." Because I consecrated my life to the Lord, and I told the Lord, "Take my life and let it be, God, consecrated to Thee," the Lord took hold of me. And I was serious in my studies, and from a D class, a donkey class, I went to A class. But I did not do well. I did not take the subject of double credit science and double credit maths, which were compulsory in A class. I asked to go down to a B class. And then, so that I could take health science. And it was a wise decision, as the Lord led me. Because of that, I got my grade 1 certificate. And got 1A in my school certificate, Form 5. 1A. Today, you people get 10 A's, 9 A's. See, I was not a clever boy. I was, well, you want to say stupid? Yes, in a way. But I was not clever, definitely. Not brilliant, 1A. And therefore, with that, I applied to become a teacher. Because I was serious with the Lord. Lord, at the end of the year, I would have to leave school. What should I be, Lord? My life consecrated to Thee. And as I read the Word of God, the word teacher came into and falls upon me that somehow I should go into the teaching line. And so I said, okay, Lord, if it is so, if it is your will, open the door for me. Open the door. And at the end of the year, I told you already, the headmaster just sent a letter, a circular to all the classes in Form 5. Those who want to be teachers, send your names to the monitors, and the monitors can pass the name to me. I did, and I became a teacher. I never even wrote a letter or application. Now, right. Now, here again, the Lord was teaching me. Right. I became a teacher, and I was posted to a school. I was to teach English in a Malay school. Teach English in a Malay school. And I was required to teach on a Sunday. I was attending Bible classes before at that time. Among us, we all agree that Sunday must be kept as a holy day, as a Sabbath day. How can I teach on a Sunday? Friday, I got to teach. Sunday was a holiday in a Malay school. Could not be. I went to see the organizer of school straight away. I said, Lord, I said, sir, I'm a Christian. And sir, you are a Christian. He was a Methodist Christian. I'm a Christian. I do not work on Sunday. Please, let me go back to a normal school. And he was good. He sent me back. My idea of observing Sunday was like a Sabbath day. No work, no fire, no cooking. All work, all day, work for the Lord. And so I learned that lesson. Not yet that Sunday was not to be just kept as a ritualistic holy day. Never mind, the Lord has a lesson to teach me. So I was very happy. I went back to Wellesley Primary School. I was a teacher there, and I enjoyed. I had no more to teach on a Sunday. I was free on a Sunday. Right, and then I joined the various church activities. You all know, I have no time already. And I went to join open air meetings, speaking in the open air services and so on, and then came to Chisholm Road, and then there I had a children's campaign, and that's how Island Grace Sunday School started, and how it became an Island Grace Gospel Center today. So, to be frank, I could be one of the pioneers for your Island Grace Gospel Hall sent testimony years ago. All right. After that, from now on, I'll start my new testimony. I was in teacher training for 3 years, normal class, not like our sister in the MTC, perhaps, Malaysian training class. We had 2 years, I got 3 years to do. You will come out with a diploma, I could not be just a certificate, nothing more. All right, I was posted to Butterworth. Qualify as a teacher, posted to Butterworth. Our sister, just now I heard, posted back to hometown. That's very good. But today, but that day, I was posted to Butterworth. And to be posted to Butterworth from Georgetown, Penang, would be like going to Africa. Because at that time, there was hardly any ferries, old ferries, and traveling to Butterworth was a troublesome period. Where was I transferred to? I asked the Lord. I asked the organizer of schools. I am a Christian. I don't work on a Sunday. I do not want to serve in the Malay school. I insisted on that, and the Lord gave me his permission, permitted me. Now that I've qualified, he sent me back to Butterworth, and I was to teach in a Scholar Ajam Malay school. Not enough. I had got to teach in a second school, Scholar Menengah Bagan Jerman. two schools, Malay schools in Butterworth on a Sunday for 2 years. But during those 2 years, his plan for me teaching that school was that I might be a Sunday school teacher in Butterworth Gospel Hall. And that's how Butterworth Gospel Hall Sunday School started, and that's how Butterworth Gospel Hall was established, because I came to establish that Gospel Hall, Chinese and English assembly together. The Lord had a purpose. The carrying out His purpose, sorry, God, He did not care whether you suffered or not. You're going, you have pains, you suffer, but I want my purpose done. And His purpose was done. And when His purpose is done, then it will be all right. So after second year, I asked for permission. I asked for permission to come back to Penang. 2 years working, but it was very tough. I would have much more, I only wish I had more time to speak on the ministry in Butterworth, but I have no more time. I want to come to today's study. I have permission to come back to Penang. Sir, I've served 2 years already. And let me come back to Penang, sir. And say, okay, we'll come back to Penang. That's one vacancy. Barnabas English School. Barnabas. To go to Barnabas 10 miles away at that time from my house was again like going to Timbuktu. Sir, no. Let me go back and think. I was thinking to myself, I will see the Lord's will. So I sought the Lord's will. I waited on the Lord. Lord, should I accept or not? Should I accept or not? Because if I came back, then I would have to free myself from the work in Butterworth. So I waited upon the Lord, and the time for my interview to see the chief education officer came up. So I went to see him. Sir, with regard to my application to transfer back to Penang, I told you that I would require 1 week, and I have not yet decided yet. Never mind. That's all decided. You go to Barnabas English School. And there I was transferred straight away to Barnabas English School, 10 miles away from my home. Every morning, I got to go that distance. And that time, I passed along Green Lane. Green Lane was one road. Both sides were housing as trees, rambutan trees, and so on. And I met with an accident right there, outside Island Glades. My motorcycle knocked into a pit, and I fell down. So, you see all the hardships I went through, just to do God's will, just to do God's will. During this time, I was... Also, thank you very much. I hope I can open this. Not like the chief minister could not open up. And he was speaking in the United Nations. Okay. Yes. As I was saying, I was in Barnabas, and I was at the same time, because of my involvement in Sunday school teaching, I was quite good in the use of teaching aids, visual AVA, audio visual aids. And I was invited by the organizer of schools to organize, to conduct in service courses for the use of teaching aids for teachers in Penang. As a result of that, he saw that I was good. He asked me to apply for a specialist course. And so it came that I went for a specialist course in Pahang. Went was in KL. From Penang, KL in 1967. When I was in KL, specialist STTI, those of you in KL will know, before I went there, I made a real deep study. Where would all those people who would graduate from STDI go? Would they go back to their hometown, or would they be sent back out, sent to other places? I study the history all were sent back to their hometown. And in that campus there was another college for basic education, basic teaching for the basic teachers. Where were they sent after graduation? They would be sent away for to teach outside their hometown. Very good. I go STTI, I will come back and to Penang. So I applied. I got it. I did well. Time for posting. Posting in Encik K. Johari, the education minister. He said, from now onwards, all the graduates from STTI must be sent to the East Coast. 5 to 7 years. I was caught. I was caught. The Lord did not know, the Lord know this. Lord, you say that if you do, if I do your will, you bless me. You are going to make me suffer. 7 years, 5 years in the East Coast. I just got married, had a son, I had a son and a daughter, and my daughter was 3 months old only. How can you separate me from my family like this? My daughter's 3 months old. Dorothy, she was only 3 months old. And I was separated from my wife. And I was to go alone 40 miles of winding Bentong Road. All on my own. Oh, I cried. Doing God's will, you cry, you know. It's very painful to do God's will. And so, I was sent there. I had nowhere to stay. I heard that Dr. Hui was there. And for the time being, I stayed with Dr. Hui. She was very kind and gracious to me. And after that, I managed to get a quarters to stay there. Right. I was sent to Mandakam. Then I was to report to Rao, to the CEO, to find out where I would be permanently transferred to, posted. And he told me, oh, you are Mandakam, there's a mistake. You are supposed to go to Kuala Lipis. You're not. Mandakam was 6 miles away from Temerloh, where there is a church there. I said, sir, please let your mistake remain. Let me remain in Mandakam. Don't send me to Kuala Lipis. Okay, all right, let you be. You see, men make mistakes. The Lord has his own plan. So I went to Mandakam. I went to Temerloh Church. The first Saturday, I went to Temerloh Church, saw the young people's meeting. The young people, when they saw me, Mr. Ang, praise the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord has answered our prayers. I was crying. In my heart, I was crying. Separated from my wife. Separated from my daughter that was just born. How can you say, praise the Lord? Thank you, Lord. The Lord sent me to suffer here. Away from my home and family. But then the Lord has only ways. Because that church was an interdenominational church. They wanted to be an assembly like this. And they did not know how. And the Lord sent me all the way from Penang to Temerloh in order to teach them how to be an assembly like this according to biblical principles. You see, doing God's will, can bring pain, can bring heartaches, but you must be prepared. That's why I say you must be prepared to sacrifice your life. Don't go under that mistaken idea that when you do God's will, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed, His people will be blessed, but He will make use of you to do what He wants you to do. And at the end, you'll be blessed. So I was there. According to K. Johari, I must be there for 5 to 7 years. After the first year, I said, Lord, this is enough. I've done everything I've known in the Bible about assembly teaching and assembly principles. Lord, send me home, please. I went to see the CEO in Kuantan. No. He did not want to send me back. He wanted this. I said, no, I cannot. I'm a Christian. Cannot. So, okay, I went back. 2 or 3 months later, I heard a new CEO had come. So I went again. I said, Lord, if your will, please. I miss my wife. I miss my daughter. I miss my son. I miss my family. Please send me back. I had taught all that I need to teach concerning church truths and the book of Revelation. Lord, send me back, please. So I went there to them. And you know who the new CEO is? The new CEO was my form teacher in Penang Free School. Put him there. Sir, please send me back. Yes, I know what it is. I have also been transferred from Penang Free School to this place. I know how you feel. Go back. Go back. May the 1st, I got my transfer back to Penang, to my hometown, to my family. May the 13th, you know what happened, 1969. If I had remained in Pahang, up to May the 13th, 1969, I would not know what to do. No phone. Phone would be very costly. We communicated by telegram. No internet, no Facebook, no whatever it is. It would be torture. And there were so many people on the way who died, who were murdered. My friends included. See how the Lord worked and His timing? May the 1st, I came back. May the 13th, and outside my house, there was a murder already. Oh, the Lord worked according to His time. So that was my experience. And yes, people ask me, Mr. Ang, you pull cables, huh? You pull cables. That's why you could go back to Penang so fast. 1 year, one quarter years. You should be here 5 years. I said, yes, I pulled a lot of cables. I pulled a lot of cables up there. The Lord is my... I pulled a lot of cables up there. And that's how I came back. The Lord has His own timing. The Lord has His own purpose. Are you willing to do it? To go through what He wants to do through your life to bring benefit to other people. That's how the Lord works, doing the Lord's will. It is not just happiness, and blessing. All right. So I was transferred to Penang Free School. Oh, that was a challenge. How to transfer to Penang Free School? Because I was primary trained. I was supposed to teach children, now teenagers, secondary school, Penang Free School. And I was transferred to the best class, 3A. Oh, here I was a beginner and to teach English and mathematics in the very best class in Penang Free School. But the Lord, as the Lord appointed, the Lord enabled. And so I was in Penang Free School. All right. Now, I have already skipped a number of things. Sorry. Yeah. So I was sent to Penang Free School and I was there for nearly 12 years. I might as well speak. All right. Just let you know this. And then I'll tell you what happened in Penang Free School later on. And then from Penang Free School, later on, I was transferred to Sekolah Menengah Hamid Khan. Now, that's the island of floods. Island Glades. Because that school, when it first started, it was a site for floods. The water from the mountains would come down to Hamid Khan, and then it would always be flooded. Now, I'll tell you what happened, why I was there. When I was in free school for 12 years, there was a teacher, senior science teacher. She was very qualified, and in a way, I thought she was a bit arrogant, looking down on people who are not so qualified, and I had a sort of I was rather prejudiced against her. Later on, she was approached to be the headmistress to start this new school, Hamid Khan. And you know what he said to the CEO, to the organizer of schools? I will not go. I'm not interested in becoming a mistress. You must go. And when she was pressed, of all things, this teacher whom I did not like to see, who passed by me on the corridor and just did not bother about me, don't care for me, unless Mr. Ang goes, I won't go. I hardly talked to her at all. Why must she insist on me to go? So the organizer of school, a friend of mine, came to see me. Mr. Ang, can you go? No, I'm not going. I approached her again. Please, take up that post. No, unless Mr. Ang goes. Approached me again. No, I won't go. So he went on after some time. I sought the Lord again. Lord, is this your will? Okay, let it be then. So I came. I came to my Ivy. She was a headmistress of Sekolah Menengah Amerikan, the first one. And I became her assistant. I was not happy. I wanted to run away. Humanly speaking, I wanted to go to MTC, Malaysian Teachers Training College. I took up a form. When to apply? Liable to transfer anywhere in Malaysia. Transfer to Pahang again. Forget it. No, I took the form, I put it on my table. She came to my office, she saw the form ready, she applied. And she got posted to Wrexham, and as a lecturer. And I was left to be the headmaster of Hamid Khan. Oh, must run away. Cannot. All right. So you see how the Lord worked. But the Lord sent me to Sekolah Menengah Amerikan for a purpose. Because when I was headmaster there was a lady teacher whose husband was in Sri Pinang, Maktab Perguruan Sri Pinang, Teachers Training College. And the husband had expressed to the wife that they let an AVA lecturer. And his wife said, oh, the headmaster in Hamid Khan is an AVA lecturer, AVA specialist. Oh, really? Ask him to apply. So he asked. So I was told to apply. No, I don't want to go to Temerloh again. I guarantee you will not be transferred out. And that's how I landed myself in Maktab Perguruan Sri Pinang. Alright. So, from the Island of Flats, I went to Sekolah Menengah Hamid Khan, and then I went to Maktab Perguruan Sri Pinang. Now, challenge to all of us, you who are here. This time, I'm looking at all those people who are 20 to 55. 20 to 55. At my age, I went through all this. I was doing all this for the Lord. Are you making your profession to serve the Lord? I want to state this. You are a Christian first before you are a doctor. You are a Christian first before you are a teacher. You are a Christian first before you are a lawyer. You are a Christian first before you are anything in your profession. In other words, as a Christian, you first seek the Lord's will, what He wants you to do. Be where He wants you to be. No matter whatever the hardship, He has a purpose. And His purpose is not necessary for you alone. His purpose is for others as well. To achieve certain purposes through you. This is the implication of doing God's will. Today, many people say in very easy terms, oh, do God's will. Can you know God's will? Not at that moment. When you are in it, you cannot know. It's only when you look back, that must be the Lord's will, why He sent me there, why I was there. Only when you look back. But at that very moment, in that very circumstance. And so, Trust, you have to trust the Lord, ask the Lord to open the way for you. Okay. Very quickly, 5 minutes, give me extra 5 minutes. When I was doing the Lord's will, I did various things at that age. And my challenge to you is, are you doing something for the Lord? Now, I pioneered a lot of things during the time when I was 50 years old. I started ministry for the Lord in a Chinese Sunday school. And it was hard work. I did not know how to speak Hokkien. But I was told to teach Hokkien in a Chinese Sunday school. And that's how I started my ministry. Then I became, as you all know, open air speaker. Just a young man, 19 years old, and yet daring to hold a children's campaign at Chisholm Road, which now has led to Island Glades Gospel Center. I was in Butterworth, and I was teaching Butterworth Gospel Hall, our Gospel Center group, so that it developed into Butterworth Gospel Hall. Now, all that I did when I was only about 20, 21 years old. The young men here, 20, 21 years old, 25 years old, and the sisters too. You are great professionals. You have great qualifications. You have got university degrees. I didn't have anything. But the Lord uses whoever is available to Him and willing. Are you willing? I had Bible study classes in homes, and then finally in the famous 51 Service Road, where we all came together to study the Bible deeply, not for experiences. We studied the Bible text by text, verse by verse, word by word. We did not study the Bible for experiences. Share with me. No experiences, but came to grips with the Word, what it really says, and not what men say or what men experience. So I started conducting service, Bible classes. In Bumara Hall, I called it ABC. Then in my own home for nearly 10 years, BBC, Bethel Bible Class. And then Sungai Nibong invited me to start another Bible class that lasted 10 years. And for all the people in Penang. Now, teach the Bible. Learn the Bible. Teach the Bible. Witness groups. I went to SDTI. Is there a witness group there? No. But there was one in TQC. TTTC. Teachers Technical Training Institute. I went there. I said, that is combined together and start a combined witness. And I did. And then after that, when I left, there was already a witness group. I started PFS. PFS, when I was in a student in every school, it was illegal, unofficial. Then I went back as a teacher in Penang Free School. And one day I heard from the announcement, Mr. Ang, come to the office now, by the principal. The principal said, Mr. Ang, I'm very surprised. I'm wonderful. I'm amazed that, you know, for all the other teachers, I've got to go around and supervise them. But you seem to be doing your work every time. How come you are like that? Sir, you don't have to look at me. You don't have to supervise me because I have got a greater supervisor up there. He looks at me. I cannot cheat. Anytime, every time, he looks at me. I must do my work all the time. Oh, like that. Oh. And he was very glad that I was a Christian. Sir, Mr. Ang, what can I do for you? Sir, there is a Christian witness group in Penang Free School. It is unofficial. It is illegal. Can you recognize it? Yes. On Friday, in the assembly, he announced, from now onward, Penang Free School witness group is official. It's appeared in the Free School magazine. And that's how those of you who are from Penang Free School would know today, if there is a PFS witness group, it's because of my recognition. Be thou an example of believers. I was one, and it resulted in the recognition of Penang Free School witness group. And likewise, I did also the same thing and made the witness group in Batak Peguam Sri Pinang official. I held a lot of training classes for Sunday school teachers for the use of AVA. At that time, the overhead projector was firstly introduced. Nobody knew how to use it. I introduced it to all the assemblies in Penang, and then I went on over to other assemblies in Kuantan and others to hold special courses, so that what I'm trying to say is, use whatever you learn, use whatever you have, use whatever you know in your profession for the Lord's service. That's how you do the Lord's work. Not for your own advancement. Use it for the Lord's work so that the Lord's people can benefit from it. All the knowledge that you have accomplished, accumulated, are you using it for the Lord? And that's how it went. I have no time to develop. Then I started, because I was concerned with assemblies, Residential Bible School, RBS 72-76. It was to train all those leaders, potential leaders, in all the assemblies in Malaysia. I came up with a syllabus. I came up with an invitation from all the lecturers, with Mr. Tan Wah Kim and Mr. S.S. Adams. Now, I was a young man, very, very fresh, but with the Lord's help, I managed to do all this. This is not the same as the RBS now. This RBS is very deeply rooted in Bible study, studying the Bible and what we stand for. I think 72-76 it ended, because all the possible leaders had been trained and there were no more, so we stopped. After a long time, they missed this Bible school and GLOW came about. We wanted to start GLOW. I was there again when they first revived GLOW, and today's GLOW is an attempt to repeat RBS. Then I looked around. I saw the sisters. So many wonderful sisters in the assemblies, but most of them are single. What happened, the brothers? You look down upon the sisters here. Huh? You won't even. You say you must be just like our brother and sister just got married. I was very worried about the singles in the assemblies, and I therefore started a camp for them, and that's how. Today, next month, we have the Northern Central Assembly Fellowship Camp. Those who are single, please go. Go. Learn to have fellowship with other people as well. If you are short of funds, let me know. We'll help you. I was also concerned that every assembly in Penang was going its own way. Penang, so I started the PAP. I gathered the elders together, and I talked to them, and they agreed that they should all come together to discuss and do ways, so that today, if you come to Penang, any assembly, you go, you'll find that the format of meeting is almost the same, because all are well united. But if you go to KL, and you go to an assembly, a gospel hall, you find that you may not be familiar with the meeting they have. And likewise, Singapore. All have changed. Today, the PAP is stand up for the combination of all assemblies. I was not insular. I was also involved in interdenominational work, in Scripture Union groups, and also in MEF. Many of you did not hear of it. Malaysian Evangelistic Fellowship, Dr. G.G. James. And I organized a evangelistic campaign for the whole of Penang, where I got all the churches in Penang to come together to hold an evangelistic campaign for 1 week at Paiket Avenue School. Now, I mean, stop now. I was doing all this when I was a professional teacher. I was doing all this when I was between 21 to 50. Where I was doing all this when I was a professional. All of you here are professionals. Have you done anything for the Lord? Established things for the Lord? This is the challenge. Thank you very much. I'll continue with my commendation next week.